Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Till you take a leap of faith.
They say April showers bring May flowers, but on Broadway, April yields a bumper crop of opening nights. I'm John Schaefer, and coming up on Soundcheck, lots of new productions take the leap of faith in late April. We'll hear about the mad scramble to meet a deadline for the Tonys. Later,
all about a diamond ring and everything. Well, I tell you now.
The band leader and pianist Johnny Colon is one of the innovators that fused Latin jazz, soul, and R&B into something truly infectious in New York during the 60s and 70s. Johnny Colon joins us to tell the story of Boogaloo. And Brazilian singer Paula Morellenbaum sings the music of Antonio Carlos Jobim live in our studio. All of that on Soundcheck after the news. Fooled ya. It's a podcast, so we'll skip the news. But I do want to take a moment to ask you a favor. The crew here at Soundcheck wants to know what you think of the Soundcheck podcast. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Tell us when you listen to it, and maybe even where. You can send us an email at soundcheck@wnyc.org. That's soundcheck@wnyc.org. Okay, back to the show. Have you noticed there are so many shows opening on Broadway this week? Well, turns out it's no coincidence. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today, why Broadway this week is full of new productions. And we'll hear about the past and present of that funky Latin style known as Boogaloo with bandleader Johnny Colon, and a live performance from one of Brazil's finest singers, Paula Morellenbaum. But let's start on Broadway, where April has brought not showers, but a deluge of new productions. Three shows opened last week. Seven more, including this one, Leap of Faith, are opening this week. That is a startling 25% of all new shows in the 2011-2012 season. And joining us to explain this phenomenon is the New York Times theater reporter Patrick Healy. Patrick, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, John.
So why are there so many productions opening right now?
There is one answer, and that is the most important date of the year for Broadway insiders, directors, producers, and that is Thursday, April 26th, which is the eligibility cutoff date to be in the running for Tony Award nominations and the actual honors.
So Leap of Faith and Don't Dress for Dinner both open that night, and if something happens and they don't open till the night after, they're not eligible for the Tonys this year.
They are in trouble. That will that will never happen.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they it's very, very rare for Broadway shows to open, two Broadway shows to open on the same night. It creates a lot of logistical troubles for the celebrity press and the theater press. And also, most producers want their colleagues to have at least one night in the spotlight all to themselves. But this week, we actually have two. We have, as you said, Leap of Faith and Don't Dress for Dinner, which are opening Thursday night right under the deadline. And tonight, we have Ghost the Musical and the Lions, a play starring Linda Lavin, that are both opening tonight. So the way you squeeze basically seven shows into opening over 5 days just reflects this sort of rush to get right under the deadline, because the reality is Tony Awards help shows at the box office, help get them some visibility, and can really help shows at the box office when they win the best musical or best play Tony Award in June.
Now, is this new that we have this kind of glut of productions trying to get in under the deadline? I mean, the Tonys have been around for a long time.
Exactly. It's not new in modern times. It just the way that they are all coalescing at the end of April just stood out to me, having a week where two shows were opening on the same night two times during that same week, you know, sort of struck me. And it's also interesting looking forward to the summer. you know, you're going to have this influx of tourists in New York, like you have oftentimes an influx of tourists in London. And while the London tourists have shows that are really interesting, high-quality shows opening at theaters and in parks throughout the summer in New York, it's often just a dead time for new shows. They rarely open, and you really just have tourists left with going to Wicked and Lion King for the seventh time, which some of them are perfectly happy to do with their kids, but it's not exactly a year-round operation.
We're speaking with Patrick Healy, theater reporter for the New York Times. There is a glut of new shows opening in the next couple of days here in New York, as Patrick tells us, trying to meet the deadline of Thursday, April 26th, the final night for eligibility for the Tonys. Now, on Friday, we're going to be talking with Tracy Bennett. She portrays Judy Garland in the recently opened End of the Rainbow, which opened at the beginning of this month. And we're also going to hear now a clip from Nice Work If You Can Get It, which stars Matthew Broderick and Kelly O'Hara, and that opens this week.
When my heart strains, from the moment I saw him, I fell. Top, 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 when the motor, bump, 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 when the brake, thump, 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 when my heart strains. When he smiled, you could feel the car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Pass, pass, pass went the buzzer. Pop, pop, pop went the
buzzer. Marvelous. You should care for me. Soft,
soft, soft.
Wonderful is from the George and Ira Gershwin piece called Nice Work If You Can Get It with Matthew Broderick and Kelly O'Hara. We also heard Tracy Bennett channeling Judy Garland in Trolley Song from the recently opened End of the Rainbow. Nice Work If You Can Get It opens this week, one of seven major new productions on Broadway. Patrick Healy's theater reporter for the New York Times. Is this good for anybody, Patrick?
No, it's good for the producers. The view is that to open a show so close to when the Tony nominations are decided and come out, which is going to be early next week, you have, you know, the highest possible visibility for the 25 people who pick shows that are going to be nominated for Tonys. You're fresh in their memory. Mm. The performances are fresh. And there were a few years recently where acclaimed productions that ran in the fall part of the season were completely forgotten by May when Tony time came around. And a lot of people thought, well, there was, yes, some tough competition. But the reality is people just had the memories of the strength of those performances had just faded quite a bit.
Is it kind of like Hollywood with the Oscars, where they, you know, their deadline is the end of the year, so you see all these things coming out at the end of December?
That's an excellent comparison, John. A lot of the prestige projects come out in Hollywood right toward the end so that they're remembered at Oscar time. But the thing is, Hollywood has rhythms to its season. It has very much a Memorial Day sort of mini season. It's got certainly the summertime season. There's sort of an early fall opening. When, you know, the weather is starting to get colder, mm-hmm. people are going to the theater this Thanksgiving. It has these points that are important, whereas Broadway is really kind of organized around the Tonys, which is what we're seeing right now, all these openings, and then around Thanksgiving and Christmas when the box office does really well.
You can read Patrick Healy's article, How Broadway Games the Tonys. There's a link to it on the Soundcheck page, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Patrick is theater reporter for the New York Times. And Patrick, thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on this.
Thanks for having me on.
This is Soundcheck. Up next, in the 60s and 70s, bandleader Johnny Colon was at the forefront of a funky new sound called Boogaloo, and in a moment he'll tell us the story. And then later, a live performance from one of Brazil's finest singers. Paula Morellenbaum will join us on Soundcheck.
Esperando por nós dois, a este encontro eu não devo faltar.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. New York is filled with band leaders, but not all of them are also educators, and even fewer of them were pivotal figures in the development of a truly funky genre of music. Johnny Colon and his orchestra started playing rock and roll and charanga, but after the release of this 1966 album, Colon became one of the kings of Latin boogaloo. He joins me in the studio to talk about his career. Johnny Colon, good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thank you, John.
Let me ask you first a very basic question. What is boogaloo?
Boogaloo is a musical feeling that was impacted upon us, those kids who were born and raised in New York, Latinos, mm-hmm. Puerto Ricans at that time, who were listening to the radio a lot. So during the time that I was growing up, I would listen to R&B, rhythm and blues. I was listening to jazz. I was listening to, of course, salsa, which was not called salsa then.
What was it called?
Well, it was called, believe it or not, it was called Latin American music.
Okay.
That's how they, Latin American music. And I was listening to guys like Tito Puente, Machito and his orchestra, Noro Morales, the guys of that time. And also to smaller ensembles, the guitar kind of romantic singing, which is a very beautiful thing. It mm-hmm. still is. And so all of those influences, including classical music, impacted upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was growing up, singing the popular American songbook throughout my whole life, and then later doing what would be salsa, I really got bitten big time by jazz.
Boogaloo was sort of the melding of all these things.
It was the melding of all those things.
So a Latin music, but also a New York music.
Totally. Totally. New York invention, I would say. New York sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it a dance as well as a musical style?
It was a dance. It was a dance. It was a dance that was originally an American developed dance. I don't know where, to tell you the truth. But it had no success.
Mm.
Only because there was no music to really go with it that you could say was a boogaloo.
Right. So it needed, like, the twist or the Macarena. It needed the song to kind of...
It needed the song.
Yeah.
It needed the song.
And what was that song?
That song was Boogaloo Blues.
Let's hear a little bit of it from my guest, Johnny Colon, and his orchestra. That is my guest, Johnny Colon, and his orchestra, and the song Boogaloo Blues from 1966. So, Johnny, we're hearing you playing the piano?
I'm playing the piano.
And you also play trombone?
I play trombone also.
Mm-hmm. One of the striking things about this, and of course you've already explained how it's both a Latin and a New York style of music, is the bilingual nature of the lyrics, you know, English and Spanish.
Absolutely,
both.
Absolutely.
So was this originally aimed at the community, the Puerto Rican community in New York, or were you aiming to cast a wider net?
No, it was the Puerto Rican Latino community in New York, because that's where we did our gigs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would be neglectful if I didn't say that we were also playing mambos and cha-chas and guajiras. You couldn't play a boogaloo night and just boogaloo. It wasn't gonna make it.
Where were you playing?
We were playing in all the venues in New York City, the Manhattan, the Bronx, the South Bronx, the Hunt Point Palace. We even early on the Palladium,
mm-hmm.
The Colgate Gardens in the Bronx, a place called Sci Streets. So all of these small little places that had the fanatics going and coming.
Right. That Hunts Point, that building is still there. I mean,
it's still there.
Not a dance hall anymore.
It's
a great old building.
A lot of history there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Johnny Colon, the band leader, educator, pivotal figure in the genre known as Boogaloo. Where did it come from? I mean, who were your progenitors, the people that led you to this?
I'll tell you. Mongo Santa Maria, the conga player, did a tune called Watermelon Man.
Big hit.
Yeah, big hit. Herbie Hancock wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
So, there were no lyrics to it. Pete Rodriguez then comes along and does Ay, 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 Mi Caela Me Botó, which is really a guajira, a cha-cha type, you know. And he also
And just for folks who aren't, the cha-cha-cha sounds exactly like that name would lead you to believe. It has that cha-cha-cha rhythm.
Yeah, but if you listen to what we're doing on the ding-dong, ding-grunk, cha-ching-ching, 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 see, that's really
That sounded great.
Okay, thank you. It's all cha-cha.
Yeah.
It's all cha-cha. Now, the difference in our instance with Boogaloo is that Pete would do this, let's say, for demonstration purpose. He would go, so it was he was doing it on the one and the four or the two and the four, that mm-hmm. backbeat feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
We never did the backbeat feeling because we didn't want to, we wanted something new that the Puerto Rican kid could relate to, that the Latinos could relate to, and anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than having that backbeat and we didn't want to imitate anybody's music,
mm-hmm.
coming out with new stuff.
So Pete Rodriguez, one of those formative influences. What about Joe Cuba?
No, well, Joe Cuba, yes, but Joe Cuba was an influence for salsa for me.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to him for that. Joe Cuba's Bang Bang didn't come out till the end of 1967.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really after us.
Okay. Let's hear some of the sounds of the day. Pete Rodriguez, as Johnny Colon mentioned, and then Joe Cuba with Bang Bang. So there are some of the sounds of the 60s. Joe Cuba from 67. So Johnny Colone with me. This is a year after your Boogaloo Blues.
Yes.
Bang Bang. Big Boogaloo hit for Joe Cuba. We also heard Pete Rodriguez, I Like It Like That. So you're listening to Pete Rodriguez, you know, early on. You said you would listen to Joe Cuba more for salsa, but he was clearly listening to you in return because your Boogaloo Blues seemed to have a pretty strong impact on that song.
Well, that was it. That's why I said Boogaloo was the song, because it changed the structure of the music.
Mm.
Was different. It was a real New York sound. And so people listened and said, oh, well, maybe that's where we should go.
Are you aware that Wikipedia says that you are a salsa musician?
Yeah.
So is salsa and boogaloo, at some point, do those two terms begin to come together to the point where they almost mean the same thing?
No, I think that what they're trying to say is that, for instance, Merecumbe, is, you know, that's a salsa, that's a mambo.
And when did you do that song?
I did that in 1970, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's about the time that a lot of us are beginning to hear in New York salsa for the first time.
That's about,
or at least we're hearing the word.
That's about the time that they're calling it salsa.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so. Are they parallel streams of music, salsa and boogaloo?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. Because in one of my influences was Horace Silver.
The jazz pianist.
Yeah, the jazz pianist, because he had a very Latin feel on the piano all the time. And I was impressed by what he did. The other guy was Cal Jader.
The vibes player.
Oh, man, that's the guy that brought me
to
Latin music, really, okay? So, and I connected because I love jazz. I'm a big fan of jazz. And the bridge was the rhythm. So if you listen to all of these things, including my stuff, what you're going to hear is this. That's called a tumbao. The tumbao is on every single Latin music or salsa music that you will ever hear. It could be that slow, or it could be... You know, you could have a combination of the congas, but so that's always there.
Now, how controversial, if at all, was Boogaloo when it came? Is it the usual thing where you have to kind of, you know, get the gatekeepers to let you in?
Yes, yes. I remember one of the famous disc jockeys of the time said, "Well, I won't play the record because it said LSD. It's got a hold on me." I said, "Yeah, but." You know, it's L stands for love, S for sincere, and D for divine or dynamic. And if you listen to the groove, you'll see that it's just an acronym. He says, yeah, but it's, you know. And then he said, and the singer is singing so flat that he doesn't deserve to. Geez, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. But here's what happened. Symphony Sid picks it up. And, I mean, the thing goes through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
The phones were ringing off the hook. So then he came back and he asked George Goldner, who was a producer, please, George, give me the record. I want to play the record.
So Symphony Sid, a taste-making DJ here in New York.
He was a pioneer, yeah.
We're speaking with Johnny Colone, a pioneer himself in the Boogaloo world in the 60s and still going strong today. In fact, the Johnny Colone Orchestra performs at Le Poisson Rouge in a benefit concert for the East Harlem Music School Fund on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You can also catch Johnny and his band later this summer at Lincoln Center's Midsummer Night Swing Festival on July 3rd. Now, let me ask you about this East Harlem Music School. Sort of at the height of your popularity, you kind of walk away. Well, you don't walk very far, but you walk off stage at least. What was behind that?
I got tired of being ripped off. You know, the recording companies are ripping off almost all of the musicians, the guys who were doing the writing, composing, arranging, and that's what
that's
I was
you.
Doing. and we weren't getting paid any royalties, so I said, you know, I love this, but I love kids. I love the music. And I was doing this in my mother's house in 1962. I started a school in my mother's house, and I did it for 10 years in my mother's house until somebody met me in the subway and said, gee, you still want to do it? I said, yeah. He said, well, you know. So I'm sitting in somebody's office, and the deputy commissioner of the New York City Youth Bureau walks in, and he said, do I know you? I said, I don't know. He says, are you a musician? I said, yes. He says, Johnny Colon? I said, yes. He said, oh, my God, what are you doing here? I said, this. So I gave him the paper. He read the rest was history. Mm-hmm. The school got started.
So and that was when?
That was in 1972. We were picked up by the city as a pilot project, and you, of course, had to demonstrate the ability to do this. Mm-hmm. And then we went on and did it for a year, and then we kept on doing it.
And what happens at the school? I mean, kids come in, do they need to know anything about music? What do you teach them?
Well, here's the way we did it then, because now it's different. All right. Kids could come to the school and just register, and we had instrumentalists such as myself and other people who were coming in and getting paid to teach the kids. And most of the guys who were in the school were the same guys you see today from Típica 73, from Conjunto Libre, Andy Gonzalez, and the late Manny Oquendo, Leopoldo Pineda, the great trombone player mm-hmm. from Típica 73, Sonny Bravo, the pianist from...
Just to say, these are names that anybody who with a passing familiarity with the New York Latin scene over the years will know.
Yeah, these guys...
ace players.
Oh, these guys were all legends in the field. So we got funded to do that. We've produced guys like Ruben Rodriguez, who's like an incredible bass player. He plays everything, uh-huh. by the way.
Did Mark Anthony go through your school?
Mark Anthony was our last
singer
professional
and actor.
graduate, yes. Quick story.
Yeah.
He came in at 7 years of age. So we would start them at 8 because they had to write, and do homework and stuff. And I said, your sister can come in. But he said, because he stuttered. And he said, can I come in and help you with the instruments? And he did that for a year.
Wow.
He would come in and the kid would help me with the instruments.
So he was a roadie before he was a student.
He was the East Harlem Music School roadie. But he was just such a lovely kid, giving, supportive. He would pick everything up. I knew this kid was going to be a big star.
Well, before he became a big star, Mark Anthony was a student at Johnny Colon's East Harlem Music School. And then, of course, he did go on to stardom with songs like this. Oh, ahora quién, si no soy yo. Me miro y lloro en el espejo y me siento estúpido. Ilógico, y luego te imagino toda regalando el olor de tu piel. Tus besos, tu sonrisa eterna y hasta el alma en un beso. En un beso va el alma y en mi alma está el beso que pudo ser. Ahora quién, si no soy yo. Mark Anthony, Ahora Quien, the name of the song, one of his big hits, but he started out at the East Harlem Music School, founded by my guest, the composer and band leader, Johnny Colon. The concert Wednesday night by Johnny Colon and his orchestra is a benefit for the East Harlem Music School Fund. It's at LPR this Wednesday at 7. 1972 is the year it really gets going.
It gets going in 1972.
And that's the year, you mentioned this song earlier, Merecumbe.
Yes.
That's the same. So you're still juggling both at this point.
Absolutely.
This is the song Merecumbe from my guest Johnny Colon. That is Merecumbe from the aptly titled album Caliente, Hot, Hot, Hot.
Yes.
It is hot. That's hot stuff. Johnny Colon.
This was as big as Boogaloo Blues, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Except this is 1972.
Right.
When you're setting out to start the East Harlem Music School. Now, you said before that I asked you, what did the kids do? And you told us how it was then, but you also said it's different now.
Yeah, it's different because now we're a school without walls. meaning that organizations, not-for-profit organizations, will call me and say, John, you know, we don't have any music. We want the kids. And the school's there. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And I start teaching the kids music theory. I put on little workshop ensembles for the kids. And what it does is it changes the kids completely.
Mm.
Kids who would not raise their hand, kids who would not go to the board, kids who would not do homework, kids who would not smile, kids who would not socialize are transformed completely. So the teachers come to me and say, well, what kind of therapy are you using? No therapy. This is music. Music empowers children and adults.
So can you compete with the Glees and American Idols that these kids are growing up with?
They don't even come close to what we do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come close because those are produced packages with a lot of money going into to produce the shows. It's theater is what it is. We're not theater. We're about empowering kids through music. If we get a Mark Anthony out of that, the better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the intent. The intent is to use music to empower a life forever, forever.
Johnny Colon, well, you've been doing it forever. Boogaloo Blues back in the 60s. We'll wrap up with Johnny Colon's song, What You Mean, from the album Move Over. Johnny, it has been a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck
today.
Pleasure's
all mine. Thank you for having us.
Johnny Colon and his orchestra performing Wednesday at Le Poisson Rouge. Here he is with What You Mean. And Sandra here in New York leaves a nice comment on our webpage, speaking to the huge popularity of Latin music in the African American community. She writes that we loved it just as much as the Hispanics as a kid. Just loved it. Thanks, Sandra. You're hearing a little bit more from Johnny Colon and his orchestra in the background. We'll switch gears slightly and head south to Brazil in a moment. Singer Paula Morellenbaum spent 10 years performing in Antonio Carlos Jobim's band. She'll play live for us in the Soundcheck studio next. Soundcheck, I'm John Schaefer. At around the time that Boogaloo was picking up steam here in New York, another form of Latin music was sweeping the country. Led by the songwriter Antonio Carlos Jobim, Brazilian music, especially bossa nova, was all the rage. Now, the singer Paula Morellenbaum, who sang with Jobim for 10 years, is joining this band, led by veteran pianist and composer Marcos Valle, in celebrating 50 years of Brazilian pop. Paula joins us here in the studio with guitarist Paul Myers, and they are going to play one of Jobim's songs for us called Aguas de Março, Waters of March, live on Soundcheck.
É pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho, é resto de toco, é pouco sozinho. É caco de vidro, é a vida, é o sol. É a noite, é a morte, é laço, é anzol. Peroba do campo, é nó na madeira. Caingá, candeia, uma tita pereira. Madeira de vento, tombo da ribanceira. Mistério profundo, é o queira ou não queira. É o vento ventando, é o fim da ladeira. É a viga, é o vão, festa da cumieira. É a chuva chovendo. Conversa ribeira das águas de março. É o fim da canseira. É o pé, é o chão, é a mastradeira. Passarinho na mão, pedra de atiradeira. Uma ave no céu, uma ave no chão. É um regado, é uma fonte, um pedaço de pão. É o fundo do poço, é o fim do caminho. No rosto um desgosto, é pouco sozinho. É estrepe, é prego, é uma ponta, é ponto. É pingo pingando, é uma conta, é conto. É peixe, é gesto, é uma
prata brilhando, é a luz da manhã, tijolo chegando, é a linha, é o dia, é o fim da picada, é a garrafa de cana, estilhaço na estrada, é o projeto da casa, é o corpo na cama, é o carro enguiçado, é a lama, é a lama, é um passo, é uma ponte, um sapo, é uma rã, é um resto de mato na luz da manhã, são as águas de março fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração. É José, é o espinho na mão, é um corte no pé, são as águas de março fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração, é pau, é pedra, é o fim do caminho, um resto de toco, é um pouco sozinho, é um passo, é uma ponte, é um sapo, é uma rã, é um belo horizonte, é uma febre terçã, são as águas de março fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração. Au, pedra, in, inho, esta, oco, oco, inho, aço, hidro, ida, ó, oite, orte, aço, ó. São as águas de março fechando o verão, é a promessa de vida no teu coração. Ei, a pada, tão bem, a pada, tão bem. Adapta veia, adapta veia, adapta veia, adapta veia, adapta veia. Tiviride, tiviribo, mumbababo, no fundo do mar.
That is a song by the great Brazilian songwriter Antonio Carlos Jobim. It's called Águas de Março, Waters of March, and it was played live in our studio by Paula Morellenbaum, the Brazilian singer, also playing some percussion. It's been a while since you were last here. It's great to see you again.
Ah, it's very nice to be here again. Wow.
With Paul Myers, the guitarist in tow. Paul, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Águas de Março, this is considered one of Jobim's great songs, but there's a long list of,
yes,
of great songs that that this guy composed. Paula, you sang with him for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 1994, and since then you've continued to perform his music in many different settings.
Yes.
What makes Jobim so special in a very crowded musical world there in Brazil?
Well, for me, especially for me, my experience was the kind of, you know, I study with Jobim, you know.
Mm.
You know, from was my school of bossa nova. And so I had this pleasure, this gift,
mm-hmm,
to be close to him and in this music I feel well
yeah,
when I sing bossa nova. I think my voice, you know, is nice to this kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Since from the beginning, I realized this, you know, when I start to sing with him.
Well, now, you did a remarkable project a little more than 10 years ago with the Japanese pianist Ryuichi Sakamoto and with your husband, the cellist Jacques,
yes,
Morellenbaum, called Casa.
And Casa, yes.
Casa was done, that was in his house, right? In Jobim's old house?
Yes, this was an idea of Ryuichi. I invite Ryuichi for this project, but the idea to record on Jobim's house was by Ryuichi.
Because he wanted to play his piano.
Yes. We've been there and he played piano and he was completely crazy about this. And we did a very beautiful album there,
mm-hmm,
and with all the atmosphere of Jobim, you know, his house, not a professional studio, it's
right,
a room, you know.
With the piano with the white keys all stained brown because the guy smoked so much, apparently. This, though, is some of the beautiful music that resulted from that project known as Morellenbaum 2 Sakamoto.
Devo faltar. O mar que brinca na areia está sempre a chamar. Agora eu sei que não posso faltar. O vento que venta lá fora. De ser sempre assim. Se eu gosto de...
That is my guest, Paula Morellenbaum, her husband Jacques Morellenbaum playing the cello, and the Japanese pianist and composer Ryuichi Sakamoto. And Aspraias Desertas is the name, something like that.
As Praias Desertas, yes.
Now, how come when you sing it, it's the S's are all sh sounds?
This is from Rio de Janeiro accent.
Okay. So that's from that that album called Casa, which was recorded in the house of the great Antonio Carlos Jobim, Tom Jobim, as he was known. Ash in Chelsea leaves this this note on our webpage. A few years ago, a Brazilian neighbor here in Chelsea introduced me to Paula and Jacques Morellenbaum's music. Two of my favorite CDs in my collection are Morellenbaum 2 Sakamoto, Casa, and A Day in New York, which was the follow-up record that you guys did. I often play these CDs when I have company, and they are almost universally enjoyed. That's one of the things about Jobim. He's become a kind of a global music figure. I mean, Paul, you're a jazz guitarist, but most jazz guitarists know their way through several Jobim standards.
Oh, his music has become part of the lexicon. You know, his music is as important to jazz now as Gershwin's or Cole Porter's. It's one of their standards, and they're just musically as finely crafted as all Gershwin's or Cole Porter's or any of those are.
Now, having spoken at length now about Jobim, we're going to switch gears a bit to Luiz Bonfá, another of the great Brazilian composers. Paula Morellenbaum and Paul Myers are going to play for us Manhã de Carnaval, the morning of the carnival, which will be familiar to moviegoers around the world as the theme from
Orfeu.
Black Orpheus. All right, let's hear a live performance in the Soundcheck studio.
Manhã tão bonita, manhã da vida, uma nova canção, cantando só teus olhos, teu riso, tuas mãos, pois há de haver um dia que virás das cordas do meu violão, que só teu amor procurou. Vem uma voz falar dos beijos perdidos, lábios teus, la la la, la yara, la ra ra, 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 la yara.
as cordas do meu violão, que só teu amor procurou. Vem uma voz falar dos beijos perdidos, dos lábios teus. La la la.
Manha de Carnaval by the Brazilian composer Luiz Bonfá. That's from the 1959 movie Black Orpheus.
Luiz Bonfá and Antonio Maria, the very important guy.
Who wrote the lyrics.
Yes, the lyricist.
Paula Morellenbaum, live in our studio with Paul Myers playing guitar. Paula is the guest singer with the Marcos Valle Band for Bossa Brazil, 5 nights of Brazilian music at Birdland this week, beginning on April 24th, which is Wednesday, right? And then running through the weekend.
No, tomorrow. Start tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow. Tomorrow, right, is the 24th. And so how does that... So, Paula, you'll be the guest singer with Marcos's band, and then Paul is your guest?
Yes, Paul is my guest. Now, Marcos Valle is amazing composer, amazing person. I'm very, very, extremely very happy to be here, being the special guest of this concert. He has a very good band. Five guys, Renato Massa on drums, Jorge Continentino on sax, Jesse Sadock and trumpet and flugel.
Well, some of these guys live right here in New York. So
Jorge does.
Jorge Continentino lives here, but Renato Massa don't. And Itaiguara Brandão. Mm-hmm.
So is this, I mean, does Marcos, he's a composer as well as an arranger and a band leader and a pianist. So will this be kind of a mix of old and new songs?
Mm. Yes, this show will be many music of them. Of him, and Patricia Alvi, I didn't talk, but she sings with him also in the band. And this is a very, very cool people, and I'm very happy to be invited. And then in some songs, Marcos go out on the stage.
He'll go away and leave the two of you.
And leave me and Paul and the band.
Oh, really? Okay.
And we make some songs start to just two of us, and then all the guys, and then Marcos come again, and we make this homage to the 50th anniversary.
Right. Now, it's Bossa Brazil, April 24th through 28th, two shows each night at Birdland, and it says, celebrating 50 years of Girl from Ipanema and Astrud Gilberto. The Girl from Ipanema, one of Jobim's most famous songs, it's considered to be perhaps one of the most covered songs in music history. How important, Paula, is that song in Brazil, and how important is it to you as a singer?
Well, for me, it's very nice to sing the song, especially in this arrangement that we will show, because we are doing exactly like was recorded 50 years
with Stan Getz's saxophone part.
Stan Getz solo.
Yeah, nice.
And the part of Jobim, Marcos will play, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm singing the part of Astrud.
Of Astrud Gilberto, Well, that's a big step to take.
And I'm doing João Gilberto's guitar part, so I have to stay in my room all the time.
Very
famous,
cool.
Famous Brazilian recluse and guitarist and composer.
I would like to tell that this Bossa Brazil is a very, very cool project by Pat
Phillips
and Nathory Strata. Yeah. And they are celebrating 8 years of this project, this Bossa Brasil at Birdland.
Right.
And
well,
for us Brazilians, it's very cool because we are all the time here.
Well, it brings you to New York, which is very cool for us as well. Paula, thank you so much. Great to see you again. Paula Morellenbaum, Paul Myers playing the guitar. And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow on the program, we look at how symphony orchestras program their seasons, and we'll ask, what type of programming would get you to attend a classical concert? Plus, composer Frank London and writer Judith Sloan talk about their collaboration, 1001 Voices, A Symphony for Queens. And don't forget to get your tickets, the few remaining tickets for our live performance this Wednesday in the Green Space. We'll be joined by guitarist Khaki King, the string band Punch Brothers, led by mandolin whiz Chris Thiele. On Wednesday, April 25th, live at 2 p.m., visit the Soundcheck page for details, wnyc.org/soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today, Paul Schneider. The program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help today from Ellen Walkington. I'm John Schaefer, and here is that classic recording of Girl from Ipanema to wrap up Soundcheck.
And when she passes, he smiles.